Today is the fourth and concluding message in this sermon series entitled David Living a Life of Worship. We've learned a lot about David in the last 3 weeks, and today I've entitled this final message that David worshiped in the Spirit. Now, David understood the inward working of the Holy Spirit in his life. The Psalms reveal the relationship of the Holy Spirit to the inner life of David. The Scripture reveals that David was drinking deeply from the fountain of the Holy Spirit. In Psalms 42:7, for instance, David says, "Deep calls unto deep." In that statement, he is referencing the deep bodies of water that are in the earth, but in the spiritual sense, he is referring to the Spirit of God that reaches deep into the spirit of his children. Why does God do that? Because he wants to usher us in to fellowship and communion with himself. Amen? So deep calls unto deep, spirit to spirit. Spirit of God to the spirit of humanity. This is what Jesus was teaching in John 4 when he said we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Worshiping him in spirit is our spirit responding to the Spirit of God. Deep calling unto deep. So I want to visit that verse of Scripture with you in John chapter 4. This is Jesus having dialogue with the woman at the well. And he tells her something very interesting in verse 23. He says, "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him." Now, the next thing illustrates deep calling unto deep, because it says God is spirit. He is spirit. God is spirit. And we can only worship him in spirit. That's what verse 24 says. Jesus says those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, let me give you an example from the Old Testament. Let's go back to the Psalms of David and Psalms 139. Notice what David says in reference to God's Spirit. Verse 7, he says, "Where can I go from your Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me." David understood the awesomeness of God's Spirit. You recall, if you've been with us for the last 3 weeks, we started off talking about how David was in favor with God. He had a heart after God. David's life was in favor with God. We read in 1 Samuel that the Spirit of God, Samuel, goes to the house of Jesse. He anoints David to be the next king of Israel. He pours the horn of oil, or the vessel, the bottle of oil over David's head. And the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So my friends, we are going to see some things in the Scripture today of David's relationship to the Holy Spirit. And you and I can also have the very same experience. I want to know more of God. I want to experience more of God. The only way I can do that is to experience the power of the Holy Spirit. Because there are levels. And he graduates us to levels. We're going to have graduation Sunday. Becky announced it in a few weeks. And, you know, people are graduating to the next level. Well, the same principle applies to the work of the Holy Spirit. There are levels, and people are at different levels. But deep calls unto deep. God is always calling us to go deeper with Him. Not to stay where we are, but to go deeper. David was such a worshiper because he was experiencing those levels of the Holy Spirit in his life. So in the outline today, in the sermon outline, I want to submit this question. What does it mean to worship in the Spirit? What does that look like? What does it really mean to worship in the Spirit? Jesus said, those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean? I want to define that to you today for the next few minutes. And I want to submit some things for you to consider. First of all, number one, worship is the response of your spirit to God. That's why Jesus said God is spirit. And they that worship Him must worship Him with their spirit. So worship is the response of your spirit. Now, this truth reveals to us the necessity of spiritual rebirth. Because the Bible tells us that all of humanity is dead in trespasses and sins. If you are a born-again child of God today, there was a time in your life when you were dead in trespasses and sin. You were away from God. You were estranged from God. You could not respond to God because your spirit was separated. You were spiritually dead. The Bible tells us all of humanity is in that condition. Their spirit is separated from the presence of God, and they are unresponsive to God. It takes the regenerating power of the Holy Spirit to awaken our senses, our spiritual senses, to God. Without that awakening, you can't respond to God. Without that work of what the Bible calls regeneration and renewal, you can't respond to God. That's why people that don't know God cannot really worship God. They can't worship in the Spirit because they are separated. And worship is the response of your spirit to God's spirit. Let me move on. Here's the second reason. What does it mean to worship in the Spirit? Worship is a life response to who God is. I love this verse, Psalms 52 and verse 9. Psalms 52, 9, listen to what this says. 52, verse 9. How many of you know that we all need a better understanding of the character and the nature of who God is? How many of you realize Jesus came to reveal the very character and nature of God? And that's why the Bible says He is the express image of His person. All right, Psalms 52, 9. David says, I will praise you forever because you have done it. Done what? Given him life. Given him, excuse me, the anointing. And he goes on and he says, and in the presence of your saints, I will wait on your name, for it is good. So the name of God is connected to the nature of God. Your name is connected to your personality and to who you are. God's name is connected to His character and who He is. So David says, I will wait on your name, for it is good. I will praise you forever. David's worship was inspired by his understanding of the character of God. Now think of this. Satan works to make us question the character of God. Why did God do this to me? Why did God allow this to happen? Why this? Why that? So many times we question God. Tragedies happen. People question the character of God. But we must have an understanding that God is good. David's worship was inspired by his understanding of the character of God. In Psalm 63, David declared, "Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you." Because your loving kindness, one translation says, your steadfast love. In other words, God loves you when you are not lovely. God loves you when you are not very lovable. God loves you. The Bible says it this way, that God commanded his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Hallelujah. In other words, you were an enemy against God, an enemy against his plan and his purpose. But he loved you with an everlasting love. My friends, do you see? That's why the gospel is such good news. Because there's nothing we could ever do to deserve it. David worshiped God because he had that understanding. Thy loving kindness is better than life. So my lips will praise you. I will love you. I will worship you while I live. I think every day when our feet hit the floor, we should be singing praise to God. We should be saying, blessed be the name of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. But Satan always wants us to question that goodness. So in the Garden of Eden, Eve convinces Adam to eat of the forbidden fruit. Then God confronts them. And then what is the response of Adam? He begins to shift the blame. Eve's response was she gave in to the lie of Satan. Because the devil, the Bible says, he beguiled her. You know what that means? It means that he deceived her in reference to the character and nature of God. So he began to get her to think differently and contrary to who God is. And she was convinced that God did not have her best interests at heart. She was convinced that he was holding back from her. Because Satan says, God doth know, and the day you eat thereof, you will be like God. So in other words, he's holding back from you. But David countered that. He had a better revelation. Because he said in the book of Psalms that the Lord will not withhold any good thing from those who walk uprightly. Oh, hallelujah. David understood that. Why? Because he was experiencing the inward work of the Holy Spirit. And his life was responding. His life was responding to God. What does it mean to worship in the Spirit? Here's number three. Here's the third thing. See, our attitude reflects that we believe the character of God is good. Look at this, Psalms 143. Psalms 143, I tell you, I have such an appreciation for the book of Psalms. You know, because David was a guy just like you and I. He committed sin. He got depressed. He was discouraged. Anybody ever been depressed? Anybody depressed? Don't answer that. Anybody ever been discouraged? Sure you have. Anybody ever sinned? Well, we're not supposed to talk about those things in church. Sure we have. Everybody has. We have a sin problem. We have a sin nature. David experienced all of these things. He went through highs and he went through lows. But through it all, his attitude of worship began to reflect his understanding about God. The Holy Spirit was giving him revelation. In Psalms 143:10, he says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Hallelujah. Your spirit is good. I love the Amplified Bible. Listen to what it says in the Amplified. "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me into a level country and into the land of uprightness." He's talking about a level. He's talking about a level of relationship in God. Look at Psalms 145. Here's another example. Psalms 145, verse 8 and verse 9. "The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all of his works." See, this is an attitude of worship. He had an understanding of the character of God. My friends, do you have that understanding? Do you have an understanding that God is for you? He is not against you. He loves you so incredibly deep. His love is everlasting. I mean, if we truly consider what the Bible teaches us, the most famous verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave up his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life." I mean, what an incredible verse of Scripture. Here's the fourth and final thing. What does it mean to worship in the Spirit? To worship in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit is engaging our spirit. Now, I want to give you an Old Testament verse, a New Testament verse on this one. In the book of Romans chapter 8. And if you have not spent time in Romans chapter 8, I highly, highly, highly recommend it to you. You want to have a little shot of hope in your spirit? Just go read Romans chapter 8. Because, man, it is loaded with some good stuff. So in Romans chapter 8, we are taught this in verse 26. He says, "Likewise, the Spirit helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered." Notice what it says next in verse 27. "Now he who searches the hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God." He who searches the hearts of men and knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, knows the intent. This is a great illustration of what we were talking about. Deep calls unto deep. The very depth of God's Spirit calls out to you and I, inviting us to come in. See, to worship in the Spirit means that the Holy Spirit engages our spirit. Now, this is talking about praying. But the same thing applies to worship. That's why somebody that doesn't know God cannot really worship. You have to have the presence of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. This verse teaches us that the Holy Spirit is a presence in our lives. He is working in us the very hope and expectation of the gospel. So if you want to be an effective worshiper, you can't do it without the work of the Holy Spirit. He's telling us right here, if you want to pray effectively, you can't do it without the help of the Holy Spirit. If you want to live powerfully, you cannot do it without the help, the aid, the assistance of the Holy Spirit. Because the Bible says he helps us in our weaknesses. Paul went on in another place and he said, "I will glory in my infirmity. I will glory in my weakness, because it is then that the power of God is resting upon my life." Hallelujah. God engages your spirit through the Holy Ghost. If you want to be a worshiper, you have to have the Spirit of God touching you. What does it mean to worship in spirit? It means the fourth thing here is that he engages us deep, calls unto deep. David knew that. He understood that. And that's why his entire life was a work of praise and worship because of what God was doing, the work of the Holy Spirit on the inside of him. David constantly praised God. I mean, the Psalms are loaded with it. He said, I will lift up my hands in thy name. I was glad, very glad, when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I could quote you verse after verse after verse from the book of Psalms that illustrate this. David worshiped God because of what was happening on the inside. The Holy Spirit working on the inside. Now let me give you the second part of this sermon outline. David worshiped because of the Holy Spirit's anointing. Now I want to talk to you about the anointing. Because the anointing is awesome. You want to live successfully, you need an anointing. You want to do something for God, you're going to have an anointing. You want to see your kids delivered, you're going to have an anointing to pray for that. You want to see breakthrough, the anointing of God will bring you to the breakthrough. You want to experience God in a greater level, you need the anointing. So I want to talk to you about the anointing. Because now that we have kind of laid the footwork, that David was such a worshiper, such a responder, such a praiser of God, is because of the inward work. He worshiped in the spirit because God was working on the inside of him. So now we're going to talk about David's anointing. David worshiped because of the Holy Spirit's anointing. Now I want to begin with David's prayer of repentance after his sin of adultery. David is praying to God in Psalms 51, because at this point he has failed miserably. Sometimes we might fail miserably, but you can get up again. You can start over. Isn't that the awesome thing? Even Jesus taught that principle to his disciples. Lord, how many times do I have to forgive someone? Seven times? Jesus said, 70 times seven. In other words, now, that doesn't mean, if they've offended you 490 times, then you hit them. Doesn't mean that. What he was teaching is, however many times it takes, you keep forgiving and forgiving and forgiving and forgiving. Because that's what God does for you and I. No matter how many times we fail, no matter how many times we mess up, you can get up again. You can start over. Hallelujah. You can have the refreshing of God. He will restore you. He will refill you. And he will set you on your feet to keep moving forward. See, David was in a time of anguish because he knew he had failed God miserably. He had failed miserably. Committed adultery. And in Psalms 51... notice what David prays in verse 10 and verse 11. He says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Verse 11, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Now we must understand in Old Testament times and in New Testament times, there was a little difference of the work of the Holy Spirit. Because when Jesus died on the cross and he said that he was going to send the Holy Spirit who would forever be with us, who would forever dwell inside of us, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And he was going to come through the power and through the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, in Old Testament times, they did not have that level, that depth. The Holy Spirit was upon them. The Holy Spirit anointed them. But they didn't have what you and I have on the other side of the cross. Because we have the Holy Spirit forever. And the Bible says, Jesus said it this way. He said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. All right, so what David was praying for, he was praying about his anointing, because the anointing of God had lifted. Now, how many of you know if we commit sin, the anointing of God will lift? You can't sin and still be anointed. So David is praying, do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. David was praying that the anointing would not be lifted. His concern was that of being out of favor with God. Y'all remember the first message? The first message in this sermon series? David had a heart for God. David was in favor. He walked in favor with God. What does it mean to be in favor? The work of grace that is in you that causes things to happen that need to happen. So when you walk in favor with God, God is going to cause things to happen for you. Are y'all with me? Supernatural things will happen for you because God is making it happen. That's what favor is. I love Luke 2:52. Jesus increased in favor with God and with man. Favor was working in his life. There was an anointing upon him. He was in favor. David was, his concern was, I don't want to be out of favor with God. He did not want the anointing to lift from him. Now think of when Jesus died on the cross. You remember Luke chapter 4? He goes into the synagogue. He begins to read from the book of Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he hath anointed me. Acts 10:38. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all of those oppressed of the devil. But on the cross, he prays that prayer. My God, why have you forsaken me? Did God forsake him? Not really. But what had happened, what he had experienced, was that anointing. As he became the sin bearer of the entire world, the anointing of God had lifted, and he felt that separation from his presence. And remember, David is a type of Christ, right? He's a type of Christ. So what did David say? Cast me not away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. That's exactly what Jesus experienced on the cross. That anointing had lifted. That presence of God that he walked in, that he lived in, that he thrived in, it had lifted. David is praying that the anointing would not be lifted. Now the difference, of course, is this. David sinned. Jesus did not. Jesus experienced your sin and my sin, and it was laid upon him, and he became the ultimate sacrifice for every single one of us. But David worshiped God because of the Holy Spirit's anointing. See, he couldn't worship like he wanted to worship because sin had come in. He was separated from God. Listen, when he went out on his roof and he looked out and he saw that beautiful woman bathing in her birthday suit, he should have recognized that that was a setup. That wasn't just a woman in a bikini or bikini-less. That was a setup. That was a demonic setup. David should have recognized that, but he didn't. Why? Because he had drifted. If you're here today, my friend, and you're drifting, you need to get back to God. You need to get back to where God wants you to be. We can't drift. We got to stay steadfast. It doesn't happen automatically. We have to apply ourselves. There's an application that must take place. We have to apply ourselves. David prayed that the anointing would not be lifted. His worship, the flow of his worship, had stopped. And he didn't like it. Thank God he didn't like it. And he's repenting. He's getting right with God. Hallelujah. Thank God that he did that. So then we can fast forward a little bit. Let's go to Psalms 92. Psalms 92, David is now refreshed. And he gives us this incredible statement. In Psalms 92:10, he says, but my horn, or my strength, The horn simply means my strength. He says, my horn or my strength, you have exalted like a wild ox. I have been anointed with fresh oil. Oh, hallelujah. David experienced the freshness of the anointing. That's why I don't want yesterday's donuts, praise God. Come on, somebody. Y'all know I like to tell the story, go in a donut shop and they say, you want them hot? No. Give me yesterday's, or give me last week's, or give me the ones with mold on them. That'll probably spice it up a little bit. Do I want them hot? Yes. Hot, fresh, cheap. Well, that don't happen too much, praise God. David said, I shall be anointed. A freshness. Now, every one of us, we go into the grocery store, and I don't know about you, but I still do that. And I'm very confident that the bunny bread on the shelf is going to be good stuff. I'm very confident of that. But still, I don't think there's a time when I've gone to the store and put my hands on a loaf of bread where I did not squeeze it. Is that just me? Are y'all like that too? I mean, you want to confirm it, that it's not yesterday's or last week's bread, especially if they got those $1.99 stickers on them. You want to make sure they're not selling you stale bread. Hallelujah. David experienced the fullness, the freshness of the anointing. See, it is the anointing of the Holy Spirit that keeps you in hot pursuit of God. The anointing always flows from the head down. So if people drift away from Jesus, guess what? They are losing the flow of the anointing because Jesus is the head. The Bible says it. Says that he is the head. It says Christ is the head of the church. The anointing flows from the head down. So the closer you get to Jesus, the more anointing flows into your life because the anointing flows from the head down. Hallelujah. So I want to stay close to Jesus. I want to stay close to him. I want to follow hard after the Lord because I know the anointing of God flows from the head down. Hallelujah. Let me give you the third thing. I got to hurry up. We got communion here today. It's going to be very fitting to come to the table of communion. Celebrate what Jesus has done for every one of us. Let me move on to the third thing. David worshiped because of the Holy Spirit's anointing. Number one, he prayed the anointing would not be lifted. Number two, he experienced the freshness of the anointing. And number three, he realized the anointing produces a spiritual flow. Hallelujah. I need a spiritual flow. So we're going to go to Psalms 23. Psalms 23, the shepherd's psalm. Now remember, David is a type of Christ. He was a keeper of the sheep. And I love this verse. I'm just going to read the whole psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. All right, listen to this one. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head. Oh, my. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now let me give you some biblical insight to this statement in verse 5. When he says, you anoint my head with oil. See, David was a keeper of sheep. And here's the thing. Biblical history tells us that in biblical times, they had a problem with what was called nasal flies. Now, a nasal fly, particularly in the summertime, in the warm weather months, because the nose of a sheep is very wet and moist. And those nasal flies, guess where they like to go lay their larva? Right there in the nose of the sheep. Because they would lay those eggs and that larva would go, that's why they call them nasal flies. It would go up the nasal cavity of the sheep and would get into their head. Are y'all with me? Now consider this. Jesus told us in the Gospels, he says, Satan is known as Beelzebub, Lord of the fly. Oh, y'all with me so far? Lord of the flies. Oh, my, I might preach anyway today. Hallelujah. So he was, you got to keep those devils out because they want to get in your head. Now the Bible says if those flies were successful and they would get in the head of that sheep, that sheep would be in constant torment. It said the sheep would walk around shaking his head and said he would take his head and bang it against a log and because he's trying to get the flies out of his head. So guess what? They would anoint the, oh my God, my God, my God. The anointing oil would flow from the head. They put the oil on the head of the sheep because the anointing oil was keeping them out. It kept the flies out. Listen, sometimes we got too many flies in our lives. We got too many things flying around. You got to get, my God, my God, my God. You got to get some anointing flowing to keep those flies out of your nose. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Oh, my, 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 my. Do you understand the revelation? David knew there's a flow in God because the oil flows down. And when the oil flows down, the cup runs over. Hallelujah. You can't contain it. Listen, your spirit is a reservoir. God wants to fill it. He wants to fill you thoroughly. Inside and outside. He doesn't just, you listen, people today, they want to add Jesus to their lives. You don't add Jesus to your life. You surrender. He comes in. He gives you the anointing. And all of a sudden, man, your life changes. After David was anointed to be the next king of Israel, we go several chapters later and we find this statement. It says that David behaved himself wisely. Why? Because the anointing of God was leading him and directing him. Hallelujah. The anointing produces a spiritual flow. It runs from the head down and then the cup runs over. Listen, I can't contain all of what's being poured in. You can't contain all of what's being poured in. Now, I might be talking to some folks here today and your reservoir might be dry. It might be as dry as sand. And you need a touch of God. You need a refreshing. Now, I can't answer what has produced that dryness. Only you know it. Only you know where you are. Only you know what has separated you. Only you know what has moved you away from that closeness and that anointing. See, there's a reason why the prophet Isaiah said that it is the anointing that destroys the yoke of bondage. Hallelujah. Listen, when I came to Jesus, fighting all the demons I was fighting, dealing with all the addictions I was dealing with, all of the stuff that had me enslaved, and all of a sudden somebody said, you need to be anointed of God. I was like, anointing? What's that? He said, well, it's power. It's the Holy Spirit's power working in your life. I said, yeah, baby, let's get it. I need it bad. Hallelujah. And I tell you, man, listen, when that anointing kicked in, things were different. Life was different. And I understood how precious the anointing of God was. Paul said it this way. He said, it is so precious. He said, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Man, we need that flow. When the anointing is working in your life, you are in a spiritual flow. Your prayer life is gonna work better. Your worship experience is going to be more powerful. Everything that you do is going to be some praise in your step. There's going to be things happening in your life. And that's why David was such an awesome, incredible worshiper of God. And he lived a lifestyle of worship. Man, I got so much more to share with y'all on this subject, but I gotta stop. I'm getting tired up here. But let me give you the fourth and final thing. We're going to end with this right here, and then we're going to come to the table. Fourth and final thing. See, worship flows from the reservoir of your spirit. I just kind of made a reference to that. Let me visit with you John's Gospel chapter 7. John chapter 7. I love this incredible chapter. And I love what Jesus says here in John chapter 7 and verse 37. It says, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spake concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive. He spoke concerning the anointing. For the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Your spirit is a reservoir, and God wants to fill it with his spirit. Paul said it this way. He said, he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. One. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. Spirit. Your spirit is a reservoir, and God wants to fill it. He wants to fill it and fill it and fill it because he wants it to produce a spiritual flow. And notice what Jesus said in verse 38. Out of your innermost being, out of your heart, will continuously flow springs and rivers of living water. He is using a natural analogy to communicate a spiritual truth. Hallelujah. How many of you see he's talking about a flow? He's talking about a flow right here. See, the anointing is a flow. That's why I love to preach the gospel, because you know I have to prepare, I have to study, I have to pray, because there's got to be a flow. And I tell you, man, it's a lot easier to preach with that flow than without that flow. And when that flow is working, I mean, man, it's just, there's been times, I remember in Uganda just last year, in Uganda, preaching to hundreds of people in these villages. Man, we had big stage set up, we had humongous speakers, and people were in the villages, they didn't necessarily want to go to church, but they were going to church anyway. Because they couldn't run from the sound of those powerhouse speakers. I don't. Maybe they got them from Aerosmith. I don't know. But I tell you, the old man, those things were powerful. And man, we preach in open air meetings, and people are responding to the altar. Listen, when the anointing of God is flowing, things are happening. And there were people crying out that were possessed by devils, and I mean, man, there was, you know, there were AIDS, people with AIDS asking for healing. I mean, things were happening. And I, the Wednesday night, I remember it so clearly. I preached this message entitled, "There's Going to Be a Last Day Outpouring of the Holy Spirit." And man, I tell you, I got behind that pole. I had my notes. I had everything ready. I had everything prepared. I got in that zone. And I mean, it was just the Spirit of God just took over. And in those moments, you just become a vessel. You know, he's just, you know, you're just like a pipe. You know, he's coming through and out, through in and out. And it was an incredible, incredible experience. So then the missionary, the minister that oversees all those churches in Uganda and Nigeria, and he's in five nations, his ministry's in five nations in the African continent. And he was going to close out the Thursday night. It was the last meeting. He said, listen, he said, brother, I want you to do the concluding message. I was like, listen, I can't guarantee you're going to be the same flow. You know, I said, and don't you know, we get to Thursday night and there was all kind of problems. I mean, somebody kicked the wire, you know. I mean, it's not modern technology, you know what I'm saying? Somebody kicked the wire so the sound, you know, was hindered, and they couldn't get the sound going, and you know, and the service is still going on, but you know, and then there were disruptions in the crowd. I mean, all kind of things were happening to hinder that service. But we preach, and it wasn't the same as the Wednesday night, you know, because there were a lot of things. How many of you know the devil tries to stop the flow? Satan will try to stop the flow in your life. He will do it. He will strategize. He will do everything in his power to stop the flow of the anointing in your life. But you can't let that happen. You can't let it happen. And I believe that we can make a declaration before Almighty God. As David said in Psalms 92:10, I shall be anointed with fresh oil.